pretty heavy. You know what that is? You know what that is?
Yeah.
What's that?
A weight,
all right? Pull out one of the things in this bag and somebody tell me what it is. Oh, everybody wants to do it at once. Just one. Wait. What's that? What is it? That's it. There's only two things in the bag. What do you have? Spinach. It's a can of spinach. And what do you have there?
Gummy vitamins.
All right. So we've got a can of spinach. It's kind of weird. Gummy vitamins and a really heavy weight. What do these three things have in common? Things that help make you healthy, yeah. What else? Healthy and strong. Good job. You guys are good. All right, I'll take the weight. We can do the weight after church. So, things that make us healthy and strong, right? Have you ever seen the show Popeye? Y'all are too young for that, right? Well, Popeye, whenever he was about to face the bad guy, he would open up his spinach, and he would just eat it just like that. And all of a sudden, you would see his muscles get really big, and then he could beat the bad guy. We have vitamins. How many of you take vitamins sometimes? They make you strong, right? So you can grow, so you won't get sick, all kinds of things like that. Because mostly you eat chicken nuggets and french fries, so you need vitamins. And then the weight makes us strong, makes our muscles strong. I mean, if you play sports, maybe it keeps you from getting injured so easily. All these things are things that we use every day to keep us strong. Today, we're going to look at a story in the Bible that talks about being strong spiritually. And it says, you know, that there's a real enemy out there. The devil's real. And that he likes to try to trip us up and make us fall down and kind of make us sick in our hearts. And the Bible gives us ways to be strong. And it's not vitamins and it's not spinach and it's not a weight. But it's things like putting on peace and righteousness. That means doing the right things. Putting on truth, knowing what God says and what God doesn't say. And so we're talking today about how we help each other stay strong by remembering how to do these things together, by remembering the truth, remembering peace. So we need you guys to help us when we forget, and we'll help you, and we're going to stay strong together. All right? Let me pray for you guys. Father, I thank you for these boys and these girls. Lord, we know that we live in difficult times. And Father, that every day in their schools, they experience things that are hard. That hurt their hearts and things that make them question their own worth and their own love. And so, Father, I pray that even at their age, you would begin to help them put on that armor of God, that you would give them daily peace and truth and righteousness, that you would give them a love for your word and a love for prayer, so they may walk through this earth as people who are strong, who inspire us as their church family as we inspire them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys go back to your seats. After church, you can hold the weight. I know that's an exciting thing. And invite those who are... If you would open your copy of Scripture to Ephesians chapter 6. We are in our final week of the series in Ephesians, where the church is called to grow up together and be more fully who they have been called to be. This morning we are in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication.
To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Join me in prayer. Father, we do desire that you open the eyes of our hearts. We do want to see you. We do want to hear you. And we are aware that there is an enemy that would rather us leave this place unfazed and unchanged, having heard nothing, having been here and been ignorant of the fact that you are right here among us. And so we ask for you to be the great God that you are, to break through every barrier, to break through every chain, and to draw our hearts and our ears so very close to your own so that we cannot miss you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 6 starts out with a strong warning. It says, our battle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, cosmic powers of darkness. Our battle is against spiritual forces of evil. Paul says, let us not be naive, church. There is an enemy, and he is against us. Until our Christ comes again, this enemy will do all that he can do to divide our hearts, to shake our faith, to institute destruction in our midst. We don't like to talk about this enemy very much in the church today. It's not the most popular topic that you'll come across. We much prefer the good news, the messages of hope and of joy and of love, and those are good too, and I prefer those as well. And in fact, this is a message of those things in a roundabout way. But ever so often, as the family of God, as the people of God, we just need to kind of gather together and have a good old-fashioned talk. You know, just be real a little bit about it all. So that we won't be a people who are naive and find ourselves as victims to the tactics of this one who indeed is against us. There have been times in my life, several times, when I was overly aware that there was an enemy at work in my midst to discourage and distract me from the work that God would have me to do. One such case, I was a junior in college, and I was preparing for a summer in the Middle East, my first time to go to that part of the world. And during the daytime, I was sure that God had called me there. And at night, as I'd prepare to go to bed for about 2 weeks, before I'd even fall asleep, I'd begin to have these visions of myself in the Middle East. And they were always filled with warfare and terrorism and great fear. I would find myself at midnight, awake in my bed, wondering, is this calling to go there really from God? Do I really want to step into that mess? About 2 weeks into these, I was exhausted, doubting what God had said, and I was praying in the morning, and I said, God, what is it with these visions? And I so clearly heard this word to my heart and said, Jamie, notice when they're coming, middle of the night. You're tired, you're weary, you're weak. You've got nothing to fight back with. That's not me. Those fears, those doubts, those pictures are not from me. He said, if it happens again tonight, when it happens, just call it out and say, Satan, I know that that is you. And I refuse to think about these things until tomorrow morning when I'm more rested in a better place to have this conversation. That night, there they came again, pictures of warfare, of attacks. And I spoke out and said, not tonight, Satan. If we want to talk about this tomorrow after I've rested, so be it. The visions never came again. Went to the Middle East that summer, an incredible time. Our battle is not against enemies of the flesh, but spiritual forces of evil who despise God's way and in fact are scared to death of it. So I can tell you of more and more times that I was fully aware there was an enemy out there, that there was more going on than meets the eye. But if I'm honest, I could tell you of even more days when I live and I move and I go about my schedule here on this earth with little to no thought of spiritual things at all. I move upon this earth as if this day is nothing more than a to-do list and habits and routines that fill the time. I walk past people and I engage in these simple conversations, never giving much thought to the fact that our conversation might actually be about something much bigger than ourselves. That person might actually reveal the living God to me in that moment, that I might reveal Him to them. I see evil here and there, and I find that I just kind of quickly explain it away as just fallenness, addiction, mental illness, just a bad day, just a hard heart. Rarely when I see these things in my day-to-day life am I moved to prayer right there on the spot because of them. In his introduction to the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis makes this great statement. He says, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One error is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive, unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors, and hail a materialist and a magician with the same delight. When it comes to these spiritual enemies that Ephesians 6 is talking about, we can either disregard their existence at all, or we can so obsess over them that we begin to lose sight of the bigger story and of the bigger God and of their proper place in the midst of all things. And so as we come to these verses today, we find that Paul is helping us steer the course somewhere down the middle between these two errors. He's saying, church, know that there is an enemy out there. Be aware, but be not driven to fear or despair. Instead, here's some tools. He says, instead, get dressed. Be prepared. Put on the things that you'll need to be sure that you are still standing at the end of the day, no matter what circumstances or tactics or arrows he might throw your way. Paul says, church, grow up and stop this pretending that there is no enemy out there. He said, rather face the truth that there is and simply begin to learn his tactics. That will keep you from over-obsessing about him and giving him more credit than he's due. And as you learn how he works, as you put on your guard, you can resist him. And so you can do what you were created to do. And that is to stand with the living God in worship, to know him and love him and be fully used by him all the days of your life. So how do we do this? Paul begins. He says, first and foremost, fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. If these things, truth and righteousness, protect against the enemy, then we must be battling an enemy who is really into the work of things like lies and deceit and corruption. It says, be aware of his favorite techniques and prepare yourself to stand firm against them. Just think about it. Think about the times in life when we've compromised, when we've not fully given ourselves over to what God has put in our hearts to do. And I'm willing to bet as we think about those things that in some shape or form, lies played a part in our giving in. Did you sense that you weren't qualified enough for the call he had given? Not wise enough to make a decision such as that. Not brave enough to follow Jesus to that place he was calling. Not gifted enough to make a difference. Too often I have people who come to me and who share with me this deep desire in their hearts that has come from Christ. It's a desire to do something more for Christ. A desire to simply be more fully into their relationship with him. And so often, as soon as they voice this desire, they will say something to the opposite of it. And they'll say, but I'm just not that good at this kind of stuff. I'll just fail. I will just back out when it gets too tough. I'll just mess up my words and make a bigger mess of it all. I'll get too busy and I'll backslide. I'm just a failure. I'm just a mess. I've tried this before. It never worked. And I've learned in these conversations to begin to ask. Now, all these names, all these labels that you've so graciously given to yourself, are they from Christ? Or are they coming from some other place? I wonder if Jesus got to be a part of this conversation we're having right now. I wonder who he would tell you actually are. I wonder what his name for you might be. And out of this conversation, we begin to realize that all those other names, all those other labels, that they're lies. They're from another voice altogether. They're meant to paralyze the people of God, lest they get excited and give themselves fully into the work of God. And it turns out, as soon as those lies are exposed, their power is gone, just like that. And the truth can be heard. What you are is a disciple, a fisher of men, an heir of a kingdom, a child of a living God. He's your Father, so what he says you can do, you can do. Put on the belt of truth and listen to the voice that empowers you to live, not the voice that keeps you on the sidelines, standing in defeat. That is never going to be the voice of God. There's a real enemy out there, my friends. Be aware. And know when he speaks and how he speaks. And when he does, don't dare entertain his voice for a second longer than necessary. Let us expose the lies and live in the truth. And then there's that breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate. That's the piece that covers your heart. So put it on fast, he says. If your passions, if your longings are founded on righteousness, on being fully who it is that God has called you to be, then you'll be protected from one of the enemy's very favorite schemes. And that is a divided heart that leans toward corruption. Just think about it. Rarely does someone who is far from God set out in life to be far from God. It's usually not the intended goal. But at some point, at some time, they gave a piece of their heart over to the world's desires, the world's demands on them. They decided to surrender just a bit of their morals for a larger cut of the paycheck. They chose to walk out on commitment for just one night of passion. They chose to give up on patiently waiting for God's peace in hard times, and self-medicated to the point of addiction. They chose to avoid a hard conversation and found that half-truths are really quite easy. Ask any child what he or she would like to be when they grow up. And not a one is going to say, well, I kind of want to be far from God. I kind of want to have a divided heart. Kind of want to be caught up in the ways of this world. There's something about children where they just know that they want to be different. They know that when they grow up, they want to help people. Where does that come from? They want to be kind. They want to be good. What they desire, though they don't always have the word to put to it, is righteousness. They desire to be who it is that God has created them to be. And out of this little desire, one little rationalization, one little piece of our hearts and devotions at a time, the enemy sneaks in, and here comes his agenda. And corruption begins to find its way among God's people. Paul says, church, know this about the enemy. He's going to tempt you to sacrifice who you know God has called you to be, not by enticing you to take some giant leap out of God's will, because he knows you probably won't do that, but by tempting you toward tiny acts of compromise each and every day. And each one makes the next one just a little easier and a little easier, until we find our hearts are completely unfit for battle. Choose to live a righteous life, he says, In so doing, the enemy will have such a hard time getting to your heart at all. In so doing, in this shaky world, you, the righteous, will not be shaken. And then he goes on and says, keep getting dressed. This is just the beginning. He says, put shoes on your feet that will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Now, if peace is the command, we must have an enemy who specializes in the business of fear and chaos. And isn't that the truth when we begin to think about it? When you turn on the news any evening and find yourself saying, oh, the horror of it all. What are you seeing but absolute chaos? You're seeing warfare, violence, angry mobs, road rage. People are angry everywhere. And whenever we think of the places that we really don't want to go for Christ, that the things we really don't want to say for Christ, how often is fear at the very root of that hesitation? Paul says, put on your shoes and move toward peace. Isn't that interesting? For one, the idea that peace is less about what we say, less about what we post on Facebook, and it's more about moving into the places of chaos with messages that are different than the ones they're telling on our lips. Isn't it interesting that shoes, not a megaphone, are the armor that leads to peace? You see, fending off the enemy's attempts at hatred, it doesn't come best by running away from those who intimidate us and yelling at them from a long ways away, be they Muslim or gay or mentally ill or very rich or very poor or very conservative or very liberal. Peace does not come by yelling our opinions from a distance, but victory comes by moving toward these very ones with the offer of friendship, with an opportunity to be loved. This moving toward the other is the work of peace. And with the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth already in place, we have nothing to fear opening our lives up to them. We only have a friend to gain. And keep getting dressed, he says. Take the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. It says, remember in whom you have believed and stand firm, knowing that he has claimed you as his own. If faith and salvation are the things that work against the enemy, then we must have an enemy who loves to dabble in the work of doubt and destruction wherever and however he can. With your faith in a God who is with you and who is for you, who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. And with your salvation worn as a covering over you, you literally are free to walk through this world with nothing to lose. So grab your shield and grab your helmet and be not afraid. Your life is already spoken for. We can forget about self-preservation and we can simply live. And then he says, finish out the armor with the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit at all times. If these are the final lines of defense against the enemy, then some of his most desperate last-ditch efforts must come by cutting off communication between a people and their God. The Word of God and the prayers of the people, the two greatest gifts that we have been given to engage in this living, dynamic relationship with our living Holy Father God. These are the pathways into conversation with Him, into hearing His heart, into sharing our hearts. If the enemy can just keep us out of the world, out of the Word, he could get us to believe absolutely anything in time. If he can just keep us too busy to pray, he can convince us in no time at all that we are on our own in this world. And so, church, beware. There is a real enemy, And he wants nothing more than to distance a people from their God. Knowing this, make every effort to immerse yourself in the Word of God. It's one of the most important things you can do with your time. Don't just save it for these 20 minutes on Sunday mornings. Because truth is, we have an enemy who doesn't take a break from Sundays at noon to Sundays at 10. And he's betting that we will. Doesn't work that way. When you read, immerse yourself in the Word. Don't just read it to check it off the list and say that was good enough, but read it in order to encounter the living God in your midst. Before you even start to read, ask your Father to prepare your heart to hear from Him. Read slowly. Ask questions. Highlight words that jump off the page. Apply right then what you've received from God's Word for the living of your life that very day. And pray. Again, not just on Sundays, and not just a quick, thank you so much for this day before falling asleep at night, but really pray. Throughout your day, invite God into this ongoing conversation. Tell Him what you're seeing, what you're hoping, how you're feeling all day long. Imagine Him perhaps kind of like that friend in the passenger seat on a long road trip. He's better in the driver's seat, but it's a different image. You're not always talking to that friend, but they're always there, right? And just as thoughts cross your mind, you speak up and you share them. When memories pop up, or when you see a point of interest ahead, be it something beautiful on the horizon, or something that looks a bit dangerous, you speak up and you talk about it. Sometimes you share a favorite song together, or you just check in ever so often to see how they're doing, to make sure you're on the same page, make sure everyone's okay. So may it be as we journey together with our God in lives devoted to prayer. Let's keep that lifeline of communication wide open, receiving from His Word, sharing from our hearts right back in prayer, and listening so very carefully to what's on His heart in it all. When we let God into the conversation that runs through our heads all day long anyway, the enemy quickly loses his foothold. Because where God has full permission to move and to reign, the enemy simply cannot stand. No question about it. When we just touch base here and there, a 5-minute devotion or a Hail Mary prayer only when we feel the most desperate, well, then we leave plenty of time and space for the enemy to find his place in the midst of our thoughts and our hearts and our life. So church, let us grow up and let us know the Word backwards and forwards. Let us know it. But that takes a lot of effort, you say. Yes, I know, but it's a life and death matter, my friends. And we tend to give lots of effort to things that we are convinced matter a lot. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against an enemy, a real one, and it matters. Let us grow up and let us be a people who pray fervently and constantly, honestly and humbly. But praying like that all day long, it takes so much effort, we might say. Yes, I know. Truth is, most relationships do. And this is a relationship with the living God. Must we talk around in circles to try to convince each other that it's worth it? How could we long for anything more? There we have it. The whole outfit, head to toe. Put it on, Paul says, and you will stand firm, unshaken by the enemy's tactics, steady and strong in a world that is crumbling all around you, at your feet. One final proposal, though, not explicitly stated right here in the armor, but if you read carefully, it's right there in the background of it all. in all these things, clinging to the truth, immersing our hearts in righteousness, proclaiming peace, holding strong to our faith and salvation, knowing the full word of God, and living a life guided by prayer. In all of these things, I propose that we must have the support of a community of believers by our side. Remember, Ephesians is a letter to a whole entire church. The people aren't told to go home to their own private closets and get dressed so they can take on the enemy all by themselves. No, we're all much too fragile to even try to do this alone. The church is called to grow up and to put on this armor of God together. When the enemy is telling you lies about who you are, it is our job, the church's job, to speak up and say, you are not. You are not just a failure. You are not just a drunk. You're not just a mistake. You are not disposable, and you are not alone. It is the church that says flat out, my friend, I hear what you're hearing, and I'm here to tell you that it's a lie. Those things that you hear in your head that keep you from fully giving yourself over to being who you have this hunch God is calling you to be, I ask you to voice them among us, among your family. Don't hold them deep in your heart all by yourself. You can't do that by yourself. Tell us. Tell us who he's telling you you should be, and let us tell you who we really know you to be. A child of God, an essential member of this body, worthy of love, able to serve. The enemy loves isolation. He loves when we try to defeat him on our own. So might we expose his lies to this community of faith. And might we watch him run in the face of God's truth. We were not meant to do this alone. Righteousness. This old world will wear us down one compromise at a time, no doubt about it. If not for a community where confession is welcome and accountability comes from a place of genuine love. You see, for centuries, the church was a place that people would actually come and they would voice their real life mess ups week in and week out. And together in that place of confession and accountability, they'd offer God's grace to one another and they'd hope for each other for better in the week ahead. And I don't really know what happened, but somehow over time, we quit trusting each other. We quit trusting our God. And so we come to this place and we kind of talk around in circles. And we hint at sins and we hint at compromises. But rarely do we ever stand up and flat out say to our brothers and sisters, all right, listen up. Here's my deal. Here's what I'm into. Here's what I can't get my way out of. Here's what I've done. Would you help me choose a better way this week? Friends, not a one is righteous. No, not one. But when we begin to voice our unrighteousness together, to let it out of the dark, out of isolation, then there's room for the people of God to help shine the light of God in that very place once again. The enemy, he loves isolation. He wants us to try to just get really good and defeat him on our own. And it's not going to happen. May we expose these temptations to compromise within this community of faith. And may we together watch the enemy run in the face of God's righteousness. We were not meant to do this alone. Walking into the chaos and proclaiming peace, good luck doing that on your own. Those are some scary places. It's possible. But imagine instead this community of boys and girls and men and women who together have hearts that are set on fire for justice and hope and life in a world that is full of violence and oppression and death. What if together we came to this place and put on our shoes and began to march forward, arms locked, into places in our community where darkness still reigns, where it still has the final say? And what if together we began to bind up wounds, mentor at-risk kids, offer a spare room to a family just getting back on their feet, surround a struggling veteran with the one who's riddled with PTSD with a safe place to be heard and to belong? What if we put all of our minds together and began to dream big about what a little church in Belfair, Washington could do to make a difference in a country that has only known warfare for our entire lifetimes, miles and miles from here? Try to enter those places alone. It won't be long before the chaos and the brokenness is just way too much, and we crater and we cave. But enter those places together. Now it sounds like something can happen. Like the enemy might actually have to get out of the way, because our God is up to something. Faith and salvation. Try to hold on to those on your own. When things in your world begin to fall apart, not so easy. How quickly you may want to question everything you've ever known about God. How quickly you may begin to wonder if that baptism really even meant anything at all. But in a community, when your faith is on the rocks, your brother's and your sister's faith can be a firm foundation for you. And when they are shaky, you just might get to be the solid ground for them. You see, we're called to help each other believe, to remind each other of where God has been, and to point to each other where our God still is. Once again, the enemy loves isolation. May we together expose the doubts that he's planting in our hearts and minds and expose them to this people of faith. And let us watch the enemy run in their faith on our behalf. We were never meant to do this alone. And finally then, reading the word and prayer, two practices that our culture has so told us are personal, between us and God, things we've mastered on our own. Those two are best done in community. The word is rich, and it's deep with meaning. If I only ever read it for myself, I see such a small portion of what God is speaking through it. But if I gather around a table and read it with the people of God, I get to hear 10, 20, 100 different ways that God is speaking through it. What depth! How exciting! How can the enemy possibly speak against something such as that? And prayer alone, how often it begins to feel so routine, so lifeless, like it's just bouncing off the ceiling and coming right back to me. But where two or more believers join their hearts before the throne of our God, well, then we begin to help each other stay there just a little while longer than we would otherwise. Then we can help each other pray for things bigger than ourselves, and we can help each other hear God's voice as he speaks in return. The enemy loves isolation. He loves for you to struggle through making sense of Scripture and prayer alone, because he knows eventually he can just get us to give up on it all. But open this book. Open your heart in prayer in the presence of us, your family, and let us watch the enemy run as together we enter into a real dynamic conversation with our God. We were never meant to do this alone. If you've ever seen a suit of armor, you know that a soldier could not put it on by himself. There's a lot of stuff there. and it's bulky, doesn't bend too easily. So the knights, they would help each other out until each one was fully dressed, and then they would head out to battle together as one. And so may it be with us, the people of God, called to live among this very family of God. Would you help us out? Help us get dressed. Would you help us be a people grounded in truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation? A people grounded in the Word of God and in prayer. And might you let us help you? The enemy loves isolation. Our God loves the church. Let us grow up. Let us get dressed and stand firm. And let us do it together, because we don't have a chance on our own. But together, the odds are most definitely in our favor. Because when we come together, we are promised that our God is right smack dab in our midst. So let's get dressed. We're in a battle. And together with our God, we will not be shaken. Together with our God, we will win. Together, let's get the armor on and let's do it together. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that yours is the victory. Father, we are aware that there is an enemy, and we thank you that we have nothing to fear. We are aware that this enemy has power. We thank you that you have so much more. Father, we know that this enemy has a plan. We thank you that your plan is much bigger, that your plan is eternal, and that your plan involves each and every one of us. Father God, we thank you that you've shown us how to live lives that are strong and steady in this shaky world. Help us not be hearers of your word only, but doers also. As we seek to get dressed, let us help each other so we may see your victory even here and even now. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We now enter into a time of response where our band will come up and lead us in a song. Invite you during this time in your own heart to respond to what God is doing in you. How is he calling you to prepare? How is he calling you to stand firm? And who is he calling you to do it with? How might you encourage us this week? How might we encourage you? If you'd like to come forward and pray during this time, I'll be up front. If you want to talk about becoming a member of this church family, as we do this together, or following Christ for the first time, invites you forward to pray as well. Father, as we leave from this place where we are very aware of your presence among us, this place of security and this place of rest, we enter into the world to do your work, knowing that there is one who would love to stop us. Let us go with hearts that are full, with minds and spirits consumed by your truth and your presence. And as we do, may the enemy have to flee. May lives be changed in our midst. Bring us back next week, rejoicing in stories of a God who's on the move, who's breaking chains, who's bringing salvation to this world. We can't wait to share them together, God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.